Thank you so much for joining Dental Marketing Theory, a podcast by Gary Bird. In today's episode, Gary talks with Dr. Ahmad Osman. Gary and Dr. Osman talk about entrepreneurship in the dental space and how technology continues to grow within our industry. As always, please make sure to like, subscribe, share, and leave a comment, as all of those things really help to get the word out about Dental Marketing Theory. Hope you enjoy today's show.
All right, Kareem, we are live. Good to have you on today.
Thank you, Gary. Nice to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to learn about you and your company. But first, I wanted to start with, how did you end up in the dental industry?
So it's funny because my parents, they're from Egypt, and growing up with in an Egyptian household, if any of our viewers or listeners are tuning in, you kind of only have like two options when you're growing up. So they tell you, you can either become a doctor or you can become a doctor. They give you a lot of, freedom in the choice of your career. Kind of growing up, that's what my parents wanted me to become. I was actually headed to medical school. And I had a buddy of mine in college who was, doing pre-dentistry at the time. And he was working at an office. And he's like, listen, man, if you want to make some extra money, like, we were still in college, like on the side, like you can get some like hours of, shadowing and stuff like that. Why don't you come and check it out? So I went, I shadowed with him for a few months. I loved it.
How old were you around that time?
Junior year in college.
Got it. So probably, and you were in the US at that time or in Egypt still?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in the US.
Okay.
My parents immigrated here probably 35 years ago.
Got it.
For them, education, it was all about education. Yep. And just, seeing me and my sister get the absolute best education possible. That's why they left, Egypt to come here, because, there's opportunities. You're over there, you can graduate, you can be a doctor, but there's no guarantee that you'll even land a job in your profession. It's sad, man, so.
It is, yeah. You're the second. Last week we had a guest, same thing, different part of the world from India. Same exact statement that I was either going to start had to start a business or be a doctor. So those are my two choices.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I took the test, I got into dental school, and kind of the rest was history.
How did you go from going to dental school to starting a tech company?
So I always tell everybody that I'm an entrepreneur by heart.
Okay.
And dentist by profession. I actually used to flip houses in college. I used to I took some courses on how to build new construction, flip houses. I had a buddy of mine. He's always posting like these crazy checks he's making every couple of months. I actually took one of those courses. I learned a lot. We flipped and built 8 houses when I was in college and in my first year in dental school.
8 houses? That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. All my friends would always be going out to lunch, dinner, whatever. And I'm like, no, I got to go meet with the landscaper.
Contractor. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was fun times. And then I actually graduated from dental school in 2016, NYU. I worked for a year for a DSO. It was actually the same job that I used to work for and I used to shadow. They kind of gave me like a nice plug when I graduated. I was able to work there. The team was awesome. Everything was cool, but just, I kind of saw the different side of things when now you're a provider. And, this particular DSO, they just operated in a way that, I wasn't the most fond of. So I kind of did my 1 year term with them.
What didn't you like about it? Like what was contrary to?
So for example, if a filling is deep, that doesn't mean it's a root canal. You have to try to save the tooth, sometimes they don't see things the same way. Like, hey, if it's a deep filling, most likely this tooth is going to need a root canal. My philosophy is, well, when it needs a root canal, we'll do a root canal. Mm. I'll tell the patient, hey, watch out. This is a really deep filling. It's close to the nerve. There's a 50-50 chance that it might flare up. If it flares up, we'll do the root canal. Mm. If you want to do the root canal out of a preventative nature, or if you want to, you want to be on the safe side, I'll always give them the option. I'll tell them we can do it now. But in my professional opinion, it's a 50-50 chance, and doing a root canal isn't necessarily a good thing for, long-term prognosis for this tooth. And I would leave that decision to the patient, you know. So things like that, you know, sometimes
if
a tooth has, you know, a bigger filling, they want to do crowns on every single tooth. You know, in school, they teach you it's all about conserving natural tooth structure, you know, and I hold those values really dear to me. Like, you know, your name, your, you know, being ethical, that is your, the definition of integrity, you know, and once you lose that, you know, you have nothing, you know, so I did my term. I kind of did things my way. They weren't too happy about it. So then at the end of the year, we just said, like, you know, it's best that we probably don't continue working with one another, even though I had a great relationship with them. It just wasn't my style of making money. You know, I don't need to make money that way. So I actually left dentistry for an entire year after that. My buddies have been bugging me to get into crypto ever since Bitcoin was like $200. I'm not even joking.
You should have listened.
And, you know, They told me like, we told you before, because I was telling them, I was like, listen, this job, I'm not happy with it. I have all these loans from NYU. And they're like, this is your, Bitcoin was like $700 at that time. They're like, this is your last chance to get in before crypto goes to 10,000. This was in 2017. So I was like, you know what? Can I do it on the side? They're like, of course you can't do it on the side. It's either you're in or you're out. So I was like, all right, fine, I'm in. So I loved dentistry for an entire year. At that point, both of my parents wanted to absolutely just like slice my head off, you know?
I can only imagine. You know? And then you trying to explain to them that you're going into crypto.
Because my dad, he would be seeing me. He's like, why are you with contractors? You're like, you're in dental school. Like, people are dying to get into this. And like, here you are, you're like, you know, you're picking up things from Home Depot and you're like calling it, like, what is wrong with you? You know, like something has to be wrong with you. they don't get it. So anyway, I did crypto for a year. I was super fortunate enough to be able to not only pay off all of my loans. I actually started with like 25K. And I made over $2 million in the course of that year.
So you got in and like right before the big push.
Yeah, and I was a big day trader too. Like I would literally be up, because the thing is, what a lot of people don't know about crypto is that it's not like the stock market where it closes at 5 p.m.
Yeah, it's 24/7.
America goes to sleep, China wakes up. So you can have a lot of profit. You go to sleep, China wakes up and it sells, and then like they dump the market, you lose all your money. You know, so you have to be on it 24/7. So I paid off all my loans. I opened up my own startup in 2019. And, you know, it's been amazing, man. It's been a lot of hard work. But it's nice to be able to do things on your terms and, you know, kind of create that exceptional patient experience that I think a lot of the younger dentists, a lot of the new dentists, they really want to create for their patients.
Yeah. So then you made $2 million. So did you kind of get out of crypto and say, hey, I'm going to move into something else?
Yeah. So I paid off my loans. I opened up the startup, and then I thought that, you know what, I have like a little bit of, like about $1 million left over. I can just kind of let it ride. And in my head, I'm like, well, it's probably going to go like to 10 million, like every crazy crypto guy that just thinks their money's going to go to the moon, you know, infinitely. I actually lost all of it.
Okay.
I lost all that money.
Got it. Okay. So that's good. Thanks for being honest on that. Yeah. Cause there's always ups, right? And you can always win on the ups, and some people do. And then you can also lose on the way down too. But it sounds like you capitalized. And then, so that was the end of your crypto journey. So then you're like, okay, I'm good. I let it ride and it didn't work out, but you got the startup to start. And then tell me a little bit about that journey. What year was that? And what did that look like?
Yeah. So a thing is, a lot of people, they don't know about crypto is that crypto enters into these really crazy bear cycles. So like that lasted 3 years. So when people are looking at last year and all these gains and cryptos at 60,000, they don't understand that the last 3 years were absolutely torturous and people will literally lose like everything, you know? Yeah. So you have to be able to like go through these waves and just have like, you know,
diamond hands.
Just like, they tell you diamond hands. That's it. Exactly. You know?
If you don't have diamond hands, then you're toast. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't belong in crypto. So anyway, open up the practice. We've been extremely, you know, successful. We've been really, like I said, really grateful and really just blessed to kind of recreate that patient experience. It was always about putting the patients first. And I think that, you know, that's what makes me so excited about the future of dentistry is, even though the younger, you know, guys and gals are coming out with so many loans, they genuinely do care about the patients. You know, they have that deep desire that we really want to provide an exceptional quality of service to our patients. from a comfort perspective, from, you know, a quality of work perspective, from, you know, taking care of your team members. Not every single dentist is like that, but a good majority of them are, you know. So I'm really happy that, you know, I get to see that. For me, what hurts me a little bit is that attending school right now, the sky is through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, taking out loans to open up a practice.
Yeah, $500,000 is not abnormal to come out of school with debt.
Yeah. And they get taken advantage of, man. There's a lot of vendors that take advantage of you, you know, and it's
like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean by that? Vendors that take advantage? Like what have you seen?
Like people that charge you $80,000 for cabinets, you know, and they convince you that, hey, you need to pay $80,000 because these cabinets are waterproof. There is no such thing as waterproof.
That was cabinets. Very specific. Okay? I was not thinking that. That was very, very specific. Okay, cool. You know. And then, yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. Just because then you need to get a loan. So you're $500,000 in debt. Then you're going into school. You go to start a business. Probably going to have to go another $500,000 in. And sometimes people grab off the shelf there and take advantage of the situation. And then now you have a lot of pressure on you to make sure that you perform. And that's where people can fall out of taking care of the patient and just trying to pay the bills. I can see how that cycle can happen. So tell me a little bit about Casper. Like so you started it, and what was your goal with it when you first started it?
Sure. So we were using a lot of different platforms in the office, like patient communication, voice over IP, online scheduling, analytics, and every single one of those services is a different provider that usually comes with a $200 to $500 monthly bill, you know? So I'm always on these groups online, and I'm like always seeing people like, why can't there be an all-in-one? Why can't there be an all-in-one? So we built the first all-in-one. We're the first true all-in-one. I know everybody says they're all-in-one, but we are the first true all-in-one platform. Voice over IP, paperless forms, online scheduling, analytics. We just did a partnership with Swell. They're built into our platform for reviews. And we actually cover the costs of Swell for an entire year for anybody that signs up with us.
Wow.
So it's like a $3,000 value. But that's not really what we're building at Casper. That was kind of just our go-to market strategy.
Yeah.
We're building the first artificially intelligent office manager at Casper. So we want Casper to be able to run the entire dental practice from start to finish. We just want the doctor to be able to focus on doing the clinical work, and we want to tell them, let us take care of the administrative and the management tasks for you.
So walk me through that. That's where you want to get to, right? So what's going to have to happen to make that that dream possible?
So what had to happen first was we had to build the core, you know, features, which are the voice over IP, the paperless forms. I'll give you like a very small example. You know, let's say you get a missed phone call. Let's say you have a business, any business. It doesn't matter what business is it. And you get 10 missed calls in your place of business throughout that day. Do you really know if your team members called, or your employees, if they called back those customers or those patients? You really don't, you know, unless you're really like, you know, maybe especially one in a scale, thousand.
Especially if you have three or four practices, and it's impossible. Yeah,
it's impossible, right? So, you know, Casper will automatically assign tasks to team members. You get a missed phone call, you get a task that's automatically assigned to you. Hey, call this patient back.
So is this like a project? This is like a project management platform as well?
Yeah.
Got it.
We call it a productivity platform.
Got it.
So we really wanted to find a new word since everybody's saying all in one. So we tell offices we're a productivity platform. They're like, well, what does that mean? And then when we explain it to them, we want you to be more productive. We actually tell teams we want them to work less and, you know, be able to maximize their time. It's not about, hey, this thing is on top of you and it's breathing down your neck. No, I actually just want it to guide you into making the right decisions so that you don't have to worry about getting too much heat from, you know, the owner or whoever's, you know, running the office. Just, you know, trust the process, trust the system, and we'll help you get whatever you need to get done in a timely manner.
So how does Casper, does Casper have to be trained? So if I'm a doctor, do I come in and say, these are the productivity things that I need to have added in? We use ClickUp for our company. And so in ClickUp, we build out templates that we have to go in and build, right? And they have frameworks that we can work in, but for the most part, we're going in and we're creating something from nothing inside of that platform that allows us to do that. Or the other option is sometimes you can have like a project management tool that has everything preloaded in it, right? And it's like step one, step two, step three, step four, right? And you can have it all built out. What, where does Casper fall on that timeline?
It falls into the second one, where we're kind of preloading the functionalities the way we see best fit based on best practices that are taught in the industry.
Got it.
But over time, we want it to start learning behavior of users. You know, like we track things like, you know, procedure times. So we're going to be tracking that per provider. So we can be able to come to a practice after 6 months and be like, hey, you're a hygienist. She needs 45 minutes to do a cleaning. She needs 1 hour to do a comp exam, you know, or this dentist, it takes him an hour to do a root canal. Instead of putting people down, I actually want to, if there's an associate that it takes him or her 2 hours to do a root canal, that might not be the best use of their time. Does it, we're not saying they're not good at it or whatever. We're just saying, like, if I can show you that in 2 hours you were able to do 10 fillings, but it took you 2 hours to do a root canal, number one, that wasn't the most pleasant experience for the patient, having to sit there for 2 hours and keeping their mouth open. It wasn't the most productive for you from a financial perspective, you know? It didn't even make sense for the office to hold that chair up for 2 hours. So we want to be able to give them actionable insights on how to help them improve.
That makes a lot of sense.
Metrics that they can use to help them take it to the next level.
So do you need the PMS behind that to be doing certain things? Do you have to, you know, get the PMS to a certain point to be able for you guys to perform these functions, or how does that work?
No, we have our own data warehouse where we're collecting data and we're storing it and filtering it based on different parameters and, you know, different information, how we organize the, you know, the data, and then we present it to the doctors. Right now, we only integrate with Open Dental.
Got it.
The reason for that is we know that 7 out of 10 new startups, they choose Open Dental.
Yeah.
You know, we're not opposed to integrating with other platforms, but as our go-to-market strategy, we really just wanted to focus on, you know, our core audience, which is the younger you know, practice owners.
Got it. And so did this develop out of your just want, as you were building the practice, this is, you're building basically what you would have wanted as a dentist, right?
Yeah. Being that I'm I like to consider myself like someone who's like a serial entrepreneur. I love business. I love building things. I have really low risk tolerance, most people, they kind of like to take baby steps. I'm like, show me the top of the staircase. That's where I want to start. With all of that said, opening up the practice kind of kicked our butt. It's really tough. It's really, really hard to manage and build, a really successful practice. There's just so many moving things. So imagine you're graduating from dental school. The average dental school curriculum has less than 2% dedicated to business management, Less than 2% of the entire curriculum is dedicated to practice ownership. And that might be sprinkled in like D1, D2. So by the time you graduate, you don't even remember anything. You know, you barely remember what you did last semester, and now they want you to remember some vague concepts that they sprinkled on you in like your second year of your, dental school. It's really, our whole thing is we want to empower doctors. You know, one of the things that really upsets me is that going through dental school was absolutely the worst 4 years of my life. It is freaking brutal. It is so difficult. It is so consuming. There's so much that you have to put in to make it through that experience. Dentists, when they graduate, they're very smart people. You know, we're not stupid. They're extremely intelligent. When we're treated by some of these coaches or consultants or even industry leaders, and they kind of make you feel like you don't know anything, that's what, where we kind of wanted to say, like, no.
So like, walk me through how you're solving. Yeah, let's talk about that, because I think that's a big one. So walk me through how you solve that, right? Like how are you solving this and empowering the dentist so they don't get put in those positions?
So, for example, I want them to be able to make smart decisions at the end of the day. So, for example, let's say you're a hygienist, you're paying her $50 an hour, okay? And she comes and she tells you, I want to make $65 an hour, right? I read on some Facebook group somewhere that doctors in California are paying their hygienist $65 an hour. I think I deserve $65 an hour. I want to take the emotional aspect out of decision making. So emotionally, a dentist might hear that and be like, screw you, you're fired. I'm not going to give you, that's all you're going to get. But that's not what a smart business person does. A smart business person will actually look at the facts and they're going to make a decision based on the facts and not on the emotions. So if we have a tool where I can show the doctor, well, this hygienist that's asking you for $65 an hour, she's actually producing on average $150 an hour for you. So is that the smart thing to do, is to let her go? And the national average might be $120 an hour. So if I already have a superstar who's already producing 20 or 30% higher than what the national average of what a hygienist produces per hour, she deserves $65 an hour. Why should I say no to that? That's where we're going with Casper, is that we empower doctors to make decisions based on facts, based on emotions, not based on what they think, no, these are the facts. The decision is clear. So now when I'm talking to this hygienist, you know what? You deserve it. Or you know what? I can't do it because look at where you are compared to where I need to be.
Yep. So then, so help me with this then, because this is, I think, a big problem in the dental industry, is that you have tons of numbers, right? We have numbers coming out of the ears in the dental space, but there's also a lot of data integrity issues, meaning when you look at a number, it's not always the actual number that you should be looking at, right? Or that it's a little more complicated, right? Even if you just look at accounting, if you're doing cash basis or accrual, right? And it's like you end up in these totally different places by having, just by looking at the numbers through two different ways. How does Casper help with that? Or how are you guys tackling that problem?
So we're really anti-information overload. And we say that really carefully, because we don't want to be known as a platform that has 400 different reports, because we say, hey, this justifies our fee.
You mean you don't want to be like a company that has so much information that you have to hire another company to sort through the information? Okay, got
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And we say that in the nicest and the most respectful way possible.
Yeah.
So we want to give you, like I said, things that actually matter. You know, as a business owner, there's always things that can be fixed. There's always places on where you can improve. But, you know, at the end of the day, there are core things that are priorities. So, for example, if I have three cancellations today, that is the priority, is that for me to fill in these three canceled appointments today.
Yeah, because you're never going to get that back.
All of these other hypothetical things.
Yeah.
Sure. We need to give the team right now something, a solution, so that they can fill the doctor's schedule for today. So we prioritize it based on that, is that, you know, what can we do today to help you get an ROI today? What can we do at the end of the week? What can we do at the end of the month? What can we do every quarter? What can we do at the end of the year? But it's a plan. There's a strategy. There's a clear roadmap. Hey, doc, this is how we're going to help you today, next week, next month, this quarter, these first 6 months, this year. So then when you're doing your year over year review, I helped you get better in baby steps. It wasn't just an overwhelming, here's 400 reports, hey, go figure it out. Mm. And then you're just sitting there scratching your head and you still have all this other crap that goes on in the office, and it's overwhelming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So where do you see like the future? So not your current state. That's a good explanation of where you guys are currently at. What do you think the future state looks like?
The future state is we want to be able to tie patients, teams, and doctors into like a harmonious sync. You know, we want the patient, because everything starts with the patient. You know, in my office, there's actually, I don't know if you've heard of Ray Katina. I don't know if he's famous across the country or not, but Ray Katina, he's a gentleman in New Jersey. I think he's like the first billionaire in New Jersey, or something like that. But what he did is he was the first one to start. He got a private contract from Mercedes-Benz and he became an authorized reseller. Okay. The largest Mercedes-Benz dealership in the tri-state area. Okay. When you walk into any of his showrooms, I'm not even joking, and literally like 1,000 size font, he has a huge banner everywhere that says the customer is always right. You know? And I think that is something, growing up, when I used to work in a pizzeria when I was younger. My parents, they literally had me working since I was like 8 years old, because they wanted me to know how hard it is to make money, that money doesn't grow on trees. You have to learn that you got to work really, really hard. Nothing's going to be given to you in this life.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes we would, when I was delivering the pizza, like we'd be like 10 or 15 minutes late. And my parents would be like, just give them the pizza for free. Give them the soda for free. Don't charge them any money. I'm like, what's the big deal? We're only like 15 minutes late. And they told me, would you rather lose the pizza or would you rather lose the customer?
Yeah, it's smart.
Right? So linking it back to this point, your patient is the heart and soul of your practice. You have to do everything that it takes to make their experience absolutely as seamless and as comfortable and as enjoyable as possible.
Yeah.
So our mission at Casper is that we want things from the time that the patients come to your website to make an appointment. We want that to be a seamless experience, right? We want patients to show you off. When me and you are at dinner and you're telling me about how crappy your experience was with your dentist, oh my God, I had to fill out my forms for the fourth time. Every year I go in, they make me fill out all these forms, right? And then making an appointment, oh, I have to call them and I have to submit a form online and they have to call me back. And the times that I ask for aren't even available. I'm like, Gary, what are you talking about, man? My dentist, it's so easy. I just go to their website. I can make an appointment in like 30 seconds. They send me all my forms. By the way, somehow, I don't know what they do, but somehow like all my information is always stored. So it never makes me put my information in over and over again. Like, dude, I think you need to find a new dentist. It sounds like your guy or like, whoever you're seeing, she might be like really outdated. There is that whole experience factor that patients will actually rave about you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of dentists don't understand that. I kid you not, man. I was with someone yesterday and he said, when I came to your practice last week, I noticed one of your employees gave your best friend a hug. So my best friend, he's my partner at the dental office. And he's like, when he walked in, one of your employees gave him a hug. And he's like, when I see that from the outside in, I can see what type of environment that you guys have. When employees are hugging each other and they're happy to see one another, you don't need to tell me that you guys care about creating safe and fun work environments. Because I see it.
Yeah, you see it.
It's organic.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, we want to empower patients, we want to empower doctors, and we want to empower team members. You know, we want team members to feel like, you know, you're not crazy. Hey, guess what? We know there's a lot of crap that goes on in the office. And I actually, when I'm doing a lot of demos with dentists, I'm like, you have to understand, you have to make your team feel appreciated. You know, when things go wrong, you can't be the first one to tell them, what the hell? Why? Guess what? Well, for the other 365 days, they were doing a good job. That one day where things slipped, and that's, you never thanked them, by the way, for those 365, you never said thank you for doing a good job.
Yep.
But that one day that something goes wrong, like you're the first one to come out with all these complaints. And that's not that, like, we want to empower teams. I want to empower doctors. I want to change their way of thinking so that, because patients, that's what patients see. When you're with your assistant and every single time your assistant hands you something, you say thank you. Mm. When you're done with that procedure and you thank your assistant in front of the patient, that's what patients leave with and remember. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they will literally tell the assistant, is he always that nice with you guys? Or is it just like when patients are only around? So we want to empower people to just be genuinely good and enable them and empower them. That's our goal with this platform. Enable patients, enable teams, enable doctors to help take the profession to the next level. Because you can make a lot of money in dentistry. I see a lot of people saying things online all the time, like this profession sucks. I would never tell my kids to join it. Listen, man, your attitude is everything.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you tell yourself, that is exactly what you're going to find. If you're always a negative person, you're always going to have negative things.
Yep.
If you're always a positive person, positive things will come to you.
Yep, that's true. Question. You started the Dentist of America, is that right?
Yes, building it right now.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So we're building the first masterclass. I'm sure you're familiar with masterclass. We're building the first masterclass for dentistry. I actually started a group back in COVID. It was called the Dentists of America, and it grew to like 900 members in 1 month. And it would be me in my pajamas talking for an hour and a half on how to find a location or how to negotiate your lease or how to get contractor bids or how do you select your equipment. And these were like an hour and 15 long videos, Facebook lives, and I'm getting like 600-700 views, 100 comments. And I'm like, this is crazy. So we're actually building a platform now. It's called the Dentists of America. And we're going to be giving bite-sized content to, new dentists, young dentists that want to start this journey on how they should start thinking. It's going to all be free content. And then we're going to be able to connect them with professionals. Let's say Gary, he's the number one insurance biller in the entire country. I'm going to come to Gary and tell him, hey, Gary, let's create a masterclass for you. You'll charge a fee for your course, but I want to help them get to opening up the practice. For me, opening up the practice is just like the first step.
Yeah.
If they're already spent a lot of money on that part, well, guess what? After you open it up, you have no idea how to run it.
Yeah. You need to hire associates. I want them to invest
their money in Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go to Gary. Gary's going to teach you how to do insurance billing and medical billing, you know? So, we're building that. That should be ready in Q1 of next year.
Oh, that's really cool. That's a great idea. Is there anything else like that in the space of dental?
There isn't, not to my knowledge, at least.
Yeah, I haven't. I've seen different people try to tackle it different ways, but not from that exact angle. That is really, really cool and definitely needed. When do you think that'll be launching?
That should be ready in about the end of Q1 of next year.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. That's really, really exciting. I'm definitely going to tune in for that. Is there anything else that I forgot to ask you or that you feel that people should know either about you or your product in Casper?
I don't really like to talk about my product too much, man. I feel like whenever people get a chance to go on stage or whatever, they're always talking about their product. Nobody cares about your product. people don't buy things because of your product. People buy things because of the people behind the product.
That's right.
You know, until today, Steve Jobs, he's dead, right? But people still talk about Steve Jobs, right? Because he was the man behind the product, you know? Whether good or bad, whether people like him or people hate him, that's not the point. You know, for me, you know, my mission, my goal is genuinely to help doctors be empowered and feel like they are capable and that they can do it. And I'll kind of end with this based on the attitude thing, you know, and I'm going to ask you this question. What makes the lion the king of the jungle? Ooh, why do you think the lion is the king of the jungle? Is he the biggest animal?
No, he's not the biggest. He's not the loudest. He's just his presence.
That's it. It's his attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what a lot of people don't get. It's that the lion is the king. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's not the smartest. An elephant is smarter than a lion. Yep. Right. But when a lion shows up, and he looks at an elephant, the first thing that comes to the lion's head is food, right? And when the elephant sees a lion, the first thing that comes into that elephant's head is eater. This person is going to eat me, or this, you know, this animal is going to eat me. And those things that we tell ourselves are what define us and make us who we are. The elephant is literally smarter, stronger, and bigger. But because he put in his head that this lion can eat me, that's it.
Yeah.
And the lion, even though he's smaller, weaker, and less intelligent, in his head, he's like, I can eat this thing. And that's it. When the lion shows up, everybody else runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to empower doctors that don't be scared. But that doesn't mean go and just open up a practice and just make random decisions. No, but you have to understand that everything, if you put in the due diligence and you really take the right steps, you can really accomplish anything that you want in this life. And I think for me, that really hits home is sometimes I visit back home to Egypt and, you know, I kid you not, man, you'll be in a store and people will ask you, where are you from? And, you know, we tell them, oh, I'm from the States or whatever. I swear to God, man, they will say like, can you please put me in your suitcase and take me back with you? And they say it in a joking way, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like you even saw during that, I think it was in Afghanistan or something, people were like hanging on to the side of an airplane, just trying to leave.
Yep.
Right. Like that's the opportunity that we have here in America.
Yeah.
We are so grateful. We live in the absolute greatest country in the freaking world. We are so blessed. Even if our situation is hard, you have a chance to get out of it.
Yeah.
Over there is no chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no chance. So that for him, he'd rather hold on to the side of an airplane. If he dies, at least he has a 1%. Because if he makes it out, there's a chance. But there's no chance for him wherever he is at.
Yeah.
And I don't take that lightly. I don't take any of those things for granted. I'm always extremely fortunate and you know, humbled and blessed. And we just want to keep our head down and just keep, you know, keep going through and just providing value. You know, if you're providing value, I don't need to talk about Casper. I don't need to talk about what I'm doing. If you're providing value, people will resonate towards you.
That's so awesome.
They tell you the best way to catch a butterfly. Some people, they want to use a net. Some people capture a jar. The best way to capture a butterfly is build a beautiful garden.
Yeah.
all the butterflies will come over to you.
That's great.
So yeah, man, that's what we're doing at Casper and Dentists of America. And we're just enjoying
building
the
beautiful
ride.
Gardens. That's awesome, man. I really, that's very, very true. And I'm 100% with you. Now, if someone has questions about Casper, how can they get in contact with you or learn more about if the Casper would be a good fit for their practice?
Cool. They can shoot me an email, ceo@meetcasper.com. They can go onto our website, meetcasper.com. We have a really cool site. They can learn more about our product. And if somebody just wants to shoot me a message and say, hey, I need help with my startup, I don't plan on using Casper, I don't want to talk about Casper, that's totally cool too. I coach and mentor so many docs for free. And it's literally no strings attached. I'm just happy to see them go out there and not make some mistakes. Build their dream, see their dream come to life.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. I learned a lot and I really appreciate your attitude and your perspective. It's very uplifting.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.